As we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians, last time we were together, we started to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And chapter 6 here, in verses 1 to 12, we were looking at that passage. Paul's talking about judgments. Amen. And as a bit of review, we saw last time in verses 1 through 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul talks about judgment between brethren. Amen. And then the second thing we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, Paul talks about judgment of heirs. Now, we want to pick up and look at the judgment of personal liberties. The judgment of personal liberties. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 12, the Word of God says this: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." So, since we are under grace and not under law, as we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 15, the Word of God says, "What then, shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, God forbid." So, we see that he says all things are lawful. But just because a thing is lawful doesn't mean that it is something you should do, amen. So, how should one decide? Paul judged his liberty by two standards. He asked, is it expedient? Is it expedient? According to the definition of expedient, in other words, is it suitable for achieving a particular end in a given circumstance? That is this something beneficial to a person who is washed, sanctified, and justified? What effect will this have on my future judgment and potential inheritance? And then Paul asks, will I be brought under the power of it? That is, will I have power over the thing, or will it have power over me? You see, Paul kept his body under control. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, in verse 27, we read in the words of God, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, he would not let sin reign in his body and have dominion over him. In his letter to the Romans in chapter 6, he wrote this in verses 12 to 14 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit: "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Amen. So we've seen in these first 12 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we had first judgment matters between brothers in Christ among your church Christian peers. Brothers should never go to court against each other. As a Christian, you may be required to go to court in a matter involving a crime, an insurance settlement, or a business transaction. But don't sue a brother in Christ. Second, judge all unrighteousness in your life. Remember that your inheritance with Christ can be lost by unrighteousness. And then third, judge your liberty. Don't jeopardize your inheritance and don't put yourself in bondage to sin. Amen. Okay, so now let's move on in our study. And now we're going to be looking at verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Amen. In verses 13 to 20. And what Paul talks about here in this passage is body. The body is not for fornication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 13 to 20, Paul is dealing exclusively with the problem of fornication. You see, it was an obvious problem among the Corinthians, as it was among other Gentiles. The council at Jerusalem pointed this one sin out among four necessary things for which Gentiles should abstain. Look with me in Acts chapter 15, first in verse 20. But that we write unto them, that they should abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Amen. So we see those four things, and one of them was fornication. Amen. Was the sin, the sins that were pointed out, the necessary things from which Gentiles should abstain. And then in Acts chapter 15, verse 29, we read this, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fear ye well. So we see that sin of fornication is in that list of the four things that the council in Jerusalem pointed out, that the four necessary things which a Gentile should abstain. Now, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he had to deal with this sin as well. Notice what he told them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Here it is now, that ye should abstain from fornication. Amen. Now, it is helpful to remember, as we go through this passage, particularly verse 18, that Paul has singled out fornication. In dealing with the sin, he gave us some excellent doctrine that the Lord revealed to him concerning our bodies. He uses these doctrines as the main argument against fornication. So we are to abstain from fornication because, number one, your body is for the Lord. Your body is for the Lord. Look at in verses 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Reread this. For meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. So Paul gave the Corinthians an illustration that's easy to understand. He said, meat for the bellies, meats for the belly, and belly for the meat. They're made for each other. That we easily understand. Amen. But he adds that the Lord is going to destroy it, the belly in them the meats. So we can eat what you want. Amen. Now, that is, there's no clean or unclean meat, for instance. Notice what the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God has this to say. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Jesus taught on this also in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, in verses 15 to 19, Jesus said this: There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man and defileth, and it cannot defile him, because it entereth not in his heart, but into the belly, and it goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. So using this illustration of the belly and meats that are made for each other, Paul then said that the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And since the body is for the Lord, then the body is not for fornication. The Corinthians wouldn't naturally know this. After all, by copulation, we procreate. And in many places like Corinth, there were evidently no moral restraints. From here, Paul further explains why the body is not for fornication. So, first we've seen we are to abstain from fornication because your body is for the Lord. Now, the second thing, we are to abstain from fornication because your body will live forever. Your body will live forever. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 14, the words of God say this: And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. You see, my dear listener, God is not going to destroy the body like he's going to destroy the meats and belly. There is an eternal redemption for the body. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 verse 23, the words of God say this: And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. You see, the Lord will change our vile body and fashion it like his glorious body. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 21, the words of God say, Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You see, he will raise us up by his power. In the meantime, our bodies are continually being sanctified and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 29, the Word of God says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Amen. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says that the will of God is our sanctification, to abstain from fornication. You see, there is nothing like this for the belly. So far we've seen we are to abstain from fornication because, number one, your body is for the Lord. Number two, your body will live forever. Number three now, your body is a member of Christ. Your body is a member of Christ. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. We read here in the words of God, "Know ye not, yet your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid." So Paul asks three questions in this passage that we are studying. The first of these three questions is, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Amen. Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? When you are saved, you are joined under the Lord as one spirit. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 6, "But he that is joined under the Lord is one spirit." When you are saved, amen, we saw that you're joined under the Lord as one spirit, but your body also becomes a member of Christ. A member of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verses 30 to 32, the Word of God says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the church," or rather, "but I speak concerning Christ and the church." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verses, the paragraph, verses 12 to 27, we won't read that passage, but I encourage you to go back and look at it. But in verse 12 it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, we both Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Amen. Now, what we want to see is, in fornication, your body becomes one with the harlot. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 17, it says, "What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So, it's important to understand that the harlot in the Bible is not only a prostitute for hire. A harlot is a man who fornicates with a man. She's a harlot in the sense that a woman in the Old Testament who was not a virgin before she married is considered a whore. Look with me in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22, verses 20 and 21, we read this. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of a virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she has wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. The joining of the flesh physically joins the bodies as one as in a marriage. While in marriage, the bed is undefiled, according to Hebrews 13, verse 4. In fornication, a man who is a member of Christ's body joins himself to a harlot's body. Being joined to a harlot adulterates his relationship to Christ. Amen. Now, while eating meat won't defile his body, as we saw previously in Mark chapter 7, verses 15 to 19, fornication will. Okay, while eating meat won't defile his body, fornication will. Look with me in Mark chapter 7, in verses 20 to 23, the words of God have this to say. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication. See that? Murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Amen. In fornication, the child of God is one physically with the harlot, while he is one spiritually with the Lord. Amen. And we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. He is supposed to be one with Christ spiritually and physically. Amen. According to the words of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, which says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Okay, so far, we've been looking at, we are to abstain from fornication because, number one, your body is for the Lord. Number two, your body will live forever. Number three, your body is a member of Christ. Amen. And number four, in fornication, your body sins against itself. Again, in fornication, your body sins against itself. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 18. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Paul starts this verse with a simple and clear admonition, flee fornication. When someone tries to murder you, you flee. When someone tries to kidnap you, you flee. When someone tries to rob you, you flee. When you are tempted to fornicate, you are supposed to flee. Fornication is a sin against your own body, where you are the perpetrator and the victim. Now, fornication comes from within, out of the heart of men. See, Paul said that every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Amen. That is, sin is something that starts within him and comes out of him. As Jesus taught us, we read previously in Mark 7, verses 20 to 23. You find more on this if you turn to the book of James. Let's do that together in chapter number 1. And in James chapter number 1, notice what the words of God say here. In verses 14 and 15, we read this. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust is in us, but lust is not the sin. When we are drawn away, lust conceives and brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. You see, sin starts within us and comes out. When it comes out, amen, when it comes out, sin is either against God or against, amen, somebody else. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 25 to 32, the Word of God has this to say, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. And then in Romans chapter 1, in verses 29 to 31, the words of God say this, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. So we see then, amen, we see then when it comes out, sin is either against God or it's against someone else. That is why Jesus said in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, that all the law and the prophets hang on just two things, loving God and loving others. We're going to stop there today, amen, but I hope you'll join me next time as we continue our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, my prayer is God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.